May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Here comes Jesus, the storyteller. Well, it is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I want to start my message by saying something about fathers. First, let me note that Mother's Day was established as an official holiday in the year 1914. Father's Day was officially recognized as a holiday in 1972. Now, I blame Hallmark. So on Mother's Day, we tell sweet stories of how vital mothers are, right? That's what we do. On Father's Day, we generally tell jokes about fathers, like this one. A dad was asked by his wife when they brought home their first baby to help with changing a diaper. "I'm busy," he said. "I'll do the next one." The next time came around, pretty shortly, and she asked again, "Would you mind changing the diaper?" The husband looked puzzled. "Oh, I didn't mean the next diaper. I meant the next baby." A comedian dad says, "I have an 18-year-old. Her name is Alexis. I chose that name because if I hadn't had her, I'd be driving one." Okay, now fathers, especially modern fathers, do change diapers. They do. And dads willingly work hard to support their families. But much more important than any of this is the fact that fathers who believe in Jesus, who worship him, who are active in their faith, have a huge effect upon their children and whether or not they become disciples of Jesus Christ. So we salute such fathers, I do, and we honor you today because you play an important role in the development of your children's faith. Jesus told parables, stories with a punch. Right? He told parables, as we saw in our gospel, to describe what the kingdom of God is like. You may not see this at first, but when you read or hear a parable, you are being revealed. What is it about us? We like to hide ourselves. We like to disguise ourselves. It's interesting to me, being a pastor, when I come to some home or someplace like that, they want to appear a certain way that they may not normally appear. They want to look good for the pastor, right? Right. I know better. we like to hide. We put on masks. We don't want to reveal ourselves. But God's word strips away the layers of glitter, of the disguises and the deceptions that we like to make about ourselves. And it will cause one of two things to happen. You ready? First, it may cause this. It may provoke a blessing through repentance and faith, or it will work judgment through unbelief. Those two things happen when you hear a parable. You're either going to be drawn to in faith to God, or you're going to say, I don't want this, I don't get it, unbelief. So what is the kingdom of God, and are you in it? The kingdom of God is where Jesus rules and reigns in our hearts and in the hearts of others. Philip Yancey puts it this way, and I think it's very good. He says, God's kingdom has no geographical boundaries, no capital city, no parliament building, no royal trappings that you can see. Its followers live among unbelievers and enemies, not separated from them. It lives and it grows on the inside of human beings. So we have a kind of dual citizenship, don't we? I mean, we're Americans. I hope you are. I mean, we're Americans. But we're also Christians. We're citizens of the United States. We're citizens of heaven. So where should our loyalty lie chiefly? With the kingdom of God. Yancey continues, he said, indeed, the kingdom of God will grow on earth as the church creates an alternative society, demonstrating what the world is not, but one day will be. He goes on, a society that welcomes all people of all races and social classes, that is characterized by love and not polarization, that cares most for its weakest members, that stands for justice and righteousness in a world enamored with selfishness and decadence, a society in which members compete for the privilege of serving one another. This is what Jesus meant by the kingdom of God. So the two parables today about the kingdom of God are also about seeds. What is the seed in the parables, in other parables? The seed is the word of God. And this is how the kingdom advances in the world. Not by passing laws, not by military might, but by, and not by human power in any way. Because the seed grows without human agency, without a visible cause. It is God's work. A seed looks like an insignificant thing. This is particularly true of a mustard seed, as mentioned in our gospel. The common black mustard seed was the smallest of seeds in the fields of Palestine. It took 760 of these tiny seeds to make a gram. A lot of seeds. But growing from a tiny seed, this mustard shrub becomes the largest of all garden plants, reaching heights of 12 to 15 feet in a few weeks. Grows rapidly. Jesus, who brought the kingdom of God, was like a tiny seed himself, planted 2,000 years ago. He has greatly changed our world. Someone put it like this: the Son of Man grew up in a despised province, Galilee. He did not appear in public until the 30th year. Then for 3 years, he went around in neighboring villages, occasionally coming to Jerusalem, made a few converts among the poor and uneducated, and then falling into the hands of his enemies, died a shameful death on the cross. Such and so slight was the commencement of the universal kingdom of God from the tiny seed that was Jesus himself, the Word himself. His sacrificial death, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father designates him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, over the whole universe, ruler of my heart, ruler of yours. So what do these parables mean for us today? First, it tells us that the most important thing in the world is the preaching and teaching and sharing and believing God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. What a terrible, terrible mistake Christians and churches make when they focus their energies on other things rather than the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many churches are doing that. They focus on what are noble things, but don't come close to the most important thing of them all. No other thing that a church can do other than preaching and teaching the gospel can save people. It leaves them in the state that they were at. It's great to feed the hungry. We should be about that. Doesn't save people. Doesn't. Gives them another day, right? Working for social justice is very important. We should be about that. Doesn't save people. Doesn't. Looking for world peace and denuclearization. We should be about that, perhaps. It doesn't save people. Not at all. Nothing compares to sharing the word of the gospel, the word of Christ. So it follows that the chief task of Christians and the chief task of the church is what? To plant seeds. That's the main job. God has told us that we are to be his agents, we are to be workers in the field, we are to be his ambassadors. Many terms like this. You know, we don't know if the seed we plant is going to take hold. We have no idea, but we should not become discouraged. Growth doesn't happen because of our manipulations. It is totally God's initiative. My wife bought some bulbs that were going to be summer plants. I planted them kind of late. They're not perennials. All right. I'm very disappointed in these plants because I planted numerous of them. Well, not that many, but anyway, half of them are not coming up. They're not coming up, and I'm very disappointed, discouraged even. I'm thinking about covering that spot of ground with gasoline and burning it. It's true to the parables, right? Right? I'm very disappointed. But we can't be disappointed. We can't be disappointed in the seeds. We don't know if the seed we plant will take hold. But we know this, that that's in the hands of God. How often have I heard this scenario, or something like it, where adult children who have been away from the church, away from their faith for such a long time, and they come back. Unfortunately, the parents who had prayed for them and wanted them to re-engage in their faith have passed away. They never knew that their children came back. Of course, they will know someday, but not here. We plant seeds. We don't know what will happen. If you have an adult child who is away from the faith and it bothers you, well, you don't know. We keep planting seeds, don't we? Here's the thing. We must be earnest in persevering in our witness because we don't know what soil our children are in or others are in, what season of life they're in. I mean, the uninterested, the distracted, the unresponsive person or family member. Maybe the cares of this world has gotten onto them. Maybe they're just not seeing the relevancy yet because they're not in good soil. We may not realize how close they are to the kingdom of God, of bursting forth with growth. We need to keep planting seeds. Here's another irony. You know that good soil, that prepared soil, you know, the good soil that's supposed to bring, it's also good for weeds. I'm sure you've noticed that, right? And what do weeds do but crowd out the good flowers, the good plants, right? They do. And that's what's happening in a lot of people's lives. The weeds have grown up. To me, this explains that you can raise your children, for instance, in a thoroughly Christian home and see them pull away from God. And this calls for patience and faithfulness. We may apparently be thinking that we did something wrong and that our witness was failing. But we should know this means only one thing. We need to keep planting seeds of God's word. And there will be growth. There will be. And that leads me to my last point. I know you would like me to go on a lot longer, but we should have always a strong attitude of hopefulness. Hopefulness. Because God has come to earth in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses that powerful tool that He has also given us, the Word of God, and it will not fail to have a result on this earth in the hearts of people. God is at work in this world, and He's not distant. There was a song like that, God is watching us from a distance. No, that's not really good theology. God's here. He's working through His Holy Spirit. And we've been given this incredibly powerful tool of the Word of God. So my attitude is, with about everybody I meet, someday you're going to be a Christian, if they're not. I am powerfully optimistic. I am. About everybody. Because when the seed is planted, God can transform them. God can make them grow. God loves everybody. He does. And He wants people to grow. Now, does that mean everybody is going to be a Christian? No. But you don't know that. Look at everybody you see and see a potential strong believer in Christ. That's the only way I think we should look at people. For the deep regrets and guilt in people's lives, there is Jesus' forgiveness. For the sad and the hurting and the suicidal even, there is hope's replenished joy. The story we heard today in our gospel, the parable, in Jesus' hands, always has a marvelous ending for those who believe in Him. Let that be you. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen.